Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Hello, and welcome to Contemplations. I think this is number 35, and I'm joined by Hugo.
Hello.
I am Josh, and we are going to talk today about the border debate. Of course, this is something that is very pressing in Europe and North America, and probably anywhere that has a decent standard of living. I know that Australia, in particular, has very strict border policies. So what exactly are we going to be talking about today?
So I think... I don't think we're going to be talking about specific countries or specific issues or saying, okay, that there is some kind of border problem here in the UK with this and that and how the government is dealing with it.
I think people kind of know about the case by case sort of
I think
examples.
On the podcast, Carl and Callum, they often cover something that is kind of pressing in the public debate regarding like immigration, things like that. And so... I don't really want to focus on the specifics too much and to get bogged down in those, but let's just like take a step in kind of a general direction and to talk about philosophical cases for it and practical cases for and against kind of open borders and migration and closed borders. And so maybe we're going to disappoint some people in not discussing the specifics, but I think it's fine. I think that we will make it more interesting by kind of taking a step back and saying, well, how can we view the debate in a bit more kind of calm light?
Yeah, well, there are plenty of people who are covering the specific cases of, you know, in the US, all the people going to the southern border or the potential for Afghan migrants to come swamp across Europe as many kind of so-called Syrians and most of the time North Africans as well came into Europe.
Yep. So this is obviously a difficult topic. That's why we're kind of doing this intro as well to kind of lay out how contentious it is. It's heated, of course. Everyone, every side calls the other side like bad and evil and just like fascists on the other side, traitors on the other. And so this is something that we want to avoid. We're not going to call each other names. And yeah, so that's why...
Don't speak too soon.
Sorry. But if you're looking for like this kind of debate, like that's not going to be happening. So sorry about that. But we're going to... Another thing I wanted to say is that we're going to scratch the surface a little bit of that debate, but we're not going to exhaust it, right? We can't cover everything and this is going to be a small part of the whole debate just because we got an hour. And so this is... You can't, like, no one is watching can expect us to make all the arguments and the best arguments for every possible position. So please don't do that and have mercy on us. we will try to be, of course, serious and thorough about it, but like there's limited space of what we can do. And so also, if you think that we've made a bad defense of something, like look it up further, you know, of course, like search for it or follow up what we have in the description below, because yeah, there's a lot more information about everything that we talked about. So don't take our word for it.
So, okay.
So why we are actually talking about it is because we got a video comment a couple months back and I couldn't find it anymore. I'm really sorry and terribly sorry to whoever posted it. But one of our dear viewers, he was asking us about the border debate and to cover it. And he was saying, usually how the debate goes is that the closed border The open border position gets defended from an ethical point of view, as in that's the right thing to do. And then the closed border position gets defended from the practical position, as in this is not realistic, like that it's not going to lead to anything good, even mm-hmm. though it's moral, right? And so he was asking whether it's possible to actually reverse the debate, whether it is possible to make the ethical argument for closed borders and the practical argument for open borders, right?
I can immediately think of one.
Exactly. I can think of some as well. And so that's part of what we're going to be talking mm-hmm. about today. So that is going to be kind of an interesting thing, because I think it might be hard for some people when it comes to public debate to kind of escape the framing inherent in, and like there's some things kind of coming at you from the media and from whoever kind of leads the discussion, and if you can make the reverse argument for everything, then it kind of like frees you up to think more clearly about what the possibilities are, to kind of go outside of the Overton window. Mm-hmm. It's a cliche phrase.
But a good intellectual exercise anyway, just to kind of develop those skills and to think about ideas in a way which is perhaps reversed or inverse, because it allows you to kind of navigate the pitfalls of kind of going into, I don't know what the word is, like getting caught in a bit of a cycle of not being able to reconcile a problem or something like along those lines. Intellectually speaking.
Yeah. And that's also how, you know, debate clubs and societies work. They give you a position and you're supposed to defend it. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't agree with it, even if you don't hold it, then it's kind of a good exercise. So what are we going to do? I think the first part of it is going to be laying out what the conversation is like, what the arguments usually are. Kind of so the open border ethical argument and the closed border practical argument, and then the second part of the conversation will be the reverse of that, so the ethical argument for closed borders and the practical argument for open borders, so kind of a reversal of that. And then when we're done with this, we will kind of react to those positions, and we can talk about what we find more closer to the truth and where there might be some interesting gaps or something that we can explore more closely. So that's what it's going to be like, and I just really wanted to give this extensive framing of it just because it's so contentious and so controversial in some ways. So let's get into it. So what is the usual conversation like? I think the first thing that we need to say is that there is a difference between migrants and refugees, and that's usually the first thing that comes up mm-hmm. in any kind of conversation about borders and about migration, right? And so the difference is refugees are, of course, people who come from some kind of danger, who are escaping maybe war or famine or things like that. And so if there's an imminent danger, well, then there's supposed to be, one side says, different standard in which you approach that person and that person's request to enter a different country, right? And so it's interesting that one side, the open border side, says that it doesn't really matter too much, that distinction between refugees and migrants doesn't really matter too much. Maybe a little bit, because one of the things is more urgent than the other. So yes, if you're going to prioritize, then there is priority to be given. But there shouldn't be any a fundamental difference in consideration between those two groups.
I think that side, and it's not a side I belong to, mm-hmm. but they view migrants as mainly being motivated by the opportunities afforded to them by the advanced economies of mm-hmm. the place they're migrating to. So they see it as their own form of refugee in a way. And that's why I think sometimes they don't necessarily make a distinction, because they're saying, okay, that their home country isn't very good, and maybe they've got all these skills, an opportunity to make a better life for themselves mm-hmm. elsewhere. It's just down to the circumstance, and therefore it makes sense that they would want to go somewhere to, you know, better their opportunities, and therefore they draw parallels between the two. One is concerned about their physical safety and their life more so, the refugee, whereas they would argue that the migrant, although it's a similar thing, perhaps less pressing time-wise, mm, exactly. but it's got the same inherent motivation for them seeking out these countries, and that's why they don't really make a distinction between the two.
So the fact that the distinction is being made almost always is speaks to the fact that the open border position isn't too prolific or popular, because otherwise, if there's no or almost no difference to be made between those groups on that side, well, then it wouldn't be talked about, right? And so it's clear that people do view those things as different. And yeah, so the other side usually says, of course, there's some exceptions to that, but the other side, the, let's say, closed border side or restricted border side, I'm just going to call it closed border just to make it short, but it means closed or restricted or limited, right? So the closed border side, they usually say, well, yes, if someone is fleeing genuine danger, it's urgent, otherwise they would get killed or seriously hurt. Well, of course, they need to be approached kind of in a different way. They need to be given kind of considerations and kind of tolerance to a certain extent. But then if you're migrating for other reasons, you need to pass a higher bar, kind of a higher standard of consideration of whether you can kind of enter the country or not. And so that is, of course, the position. I think most people who are for restricted migration or even no migration would or do make an exception for genuine refugees. Of course, then you get into the problem of some people, because they know that they're going to be approached like this, they might pretend to be refugees even if in fact they're migrating for other like non-emergency reasons.
That seems to happen a fair amount in the UK, where we get people from North African countries, which more often than not, although I certainly wouldn't want to live there myself, they're not necessarily bad by certainly the continent of Africa's standards, but that's not particularly high. But even so, you know, they're not necessarily going through war or famine or anything like that. It's possible for them to live a decent life if they chose to stay.
But of course, they do want to get into their destination. It's important for them. And so, of course, they're going to do whatever it takes, including maybe pretending that they're from a country where that is at war, right? And so I'm not saying all people do it or something like that. Some people do it, some people don't do it. They have different reasons for doing or not doing it. And of course, I'm not even saying that that's necessarily bad. You know, I'm not taking sides here.
Well,
so just that we're talking about doesn't mean we're condemning it or supporting it.
I can certainly understand the mindset of the person doing it, in that if you understand that your life is a finite thing, you want to make the best of it.
Exactly.
And therefore you want to get to a country where you have the best opportunities, where you're not limited by circumstance. So say I were in the position of a migrant, where obviously I can understand a refugee, but the migrant is kind of the more questionable one here.
Yes.
But you can kind of get into the mindset of, well, their motivation is just to get a better life. And as we hear from some of the migrants themselves, particularly ones in Calais, they talk about how in North Africa, they talk about the Western Europe as being a place with untold riches, where you can make a decent living doing pretty much anything, and it's almost impossible to fail, sort of thing. So given that mindset...
Is untold riches, look at this table, sleek.
Well... By the standards of many other countries, certainly. But I think the actual ethical discussion isn't about understanding their mindset and their motivations. I think we can all do that if we really tried. It's more about whether it's good for the societies they leave or the societies they join, and the countries as a whole, I suppose.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And so of course, because the... all sides, even the closed border side, makes the distinction, or they make the distinction between migrants and refugees. And on refugees, then there is often broader agreement, because one side says, yeah, well, open borders, and the other side says closed borders, but kind of open for refugees if they need to, because they need to by the virtue of being refugees, right? And so that is kind of covered. And so what the discussion is mostly about is migration and non-refugee migration, right? And so that's was kind of the preamble to it, because there is this kind of distinction, and the distinction is important for most people. And so the open border position is basically in, well, I'm summarizing the public debate now, so it might be a bit different. Some people might believe something else, but more or less, the open border position is that people have a right to move because they kind of, because the barriers that are between states, between countries are immoral, because they're artificial, because there's nothing that tells you kind of one side of the field should be separated from another by a barrier, a bureaucratic barrier. And so if that is kind of arbitrary and unjust, then, well, the default position otherwise is that people have a right to move because you need to show a good reason for them not to and for that artificial barrier to be there. And so that is sometimes being, that is kind of an argument that is made from left-wing point of view, I guess, but then there is a corollary argument that is being made from the human rights or like a libertarian point of view, which is, I'm going to quote from a book that I'm going to link below. If a foreigner wants to accept a job offer from a willing employer or rent an apartment from a willing landlord, what moral right does anyone have to stop them? And that's basically where they put the government, saying, well, the government is included in mm-hmm. the anyone in the, like, who, what right does anyone have to stop them?
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.